right, welcome back to the Free Stretch. Bobby Fenton here, coming to you live via JoeBucksFan.com in this week 11 in the National Football League. What was originally supposed to be the Buccaneers' bye week this week, the final week of byes in the league, by the way. And the Bucs and Dolphins were on that list, of course. As we all know now, what happened with Hurricane Irma throwing week one into some confusion, and the Bucs and Dolphins sharing the bye week, they decided to move that opener to this week, and so here we are. This game looks a lot different now than it did when it was the opener, as games in week 11 tend to do compared to week one. But first of all, before we get into any of that, let's give a little credit where it's due. The Bucs did win this past weekend, so hooray for that. A nice win over the Jets, and I said in last week's Free Stretch that I really wasn't that concerned about each individual game anymore, and I'm still not. And that, you know, once you go 2-6 out of the gate, you're no longer playing for a playoff spot for all intents and purposes, and they're not. It is amazing, though, and this has always been true, and it always will be true. It is amazing how much everybody's mood changes week to week, depending on one win or loss. And it's the nature of football because there are so few games, although we do it even in baseball and hockey and everything else. I mean, having hosted a sports talk radio show in this town for several years, you know, that was one of the things about baseball that I kind of enjoyed. You know, no matter what happened on a game one night with the Rays, I'd come in and do the show and we'd react to that, but it'd be ancient history the next day because there was another game that night. Every day there was a game. And people love to be reactionary. People love to just, you know, whatever the last thing that happened is, whatever is freshest in their minds, that's where they're going to jump on. So, as always on this show, I mean, we beat this drum every single week. We try to look big picture. We try not to hone in too much on any one thing, but we look at trends. We look at, again, big picture, whole happenings. And so with that, I mean, the Bucs lost 5 in a row before this past weekend. And every single weekend, we'd come in here and I'd see it on the internet, on Twitter, or just talking to my friends, or listening to sports talk radio in my car, listening to the Joe Bucs Fan podcast, all the different things. And, you know, we're the worst organization ever. Oh my God, Jameis Winston sucks. He's not a franchise quarterback. The Bucs need to clean house. Dirk Cutter's fire. And now they beat the Jets. And this week, well, you know, if they get back to 4-6, it could be different. You know, and folks, nothing is different today than it was a week ago. I mean, the Bucs' chance to make something of this season came and went when they were 2-1 and ended up 2-6. You can't do that. Like, you can't do that. And they did it. So everything we talk about now is going to be geared toward the future, toward down the road, toward big picture things. If we were 6-3 instead of 3-6, then we'd be talking week by week. Well, how about a win here? And if we win here, we're 7-3. But if we lose, we're 6-4. And this happens here with this wild card and these standings and the division lead. You know, none of that matters now. All right? And it's not different. And I heard people this week talking about, oh man, you know, the defense finally got after it this week, all the sacks, on and on and on, you know, just a different mindset. You could tell it was a different mindset. I could tell they were playing the Jets, for Christ's sake. All right? And it was still a terrible game. I mean, both teams. Bad. That was a game between two lower echelon teams in the NFL. The Bucs won it, to their credit. Now, I'm not ripping them for winning the game. I'm just saying, nothing is different today than it was a week ago, just because they beat the Jets 15-10 at home with two. And by the way, hats off to Ryan Fitzpatrick. Got it done. Got the win. Bucs once again did not score a touchdown in the first half. We're used to that by now. And yet they got one in the second half to put some distance between them and the Jets. And it ended up being a big one because at the time it looked like it really wasn't going to matter. You know, nobody's going to score in this game anyway. Bucs can just win this thing 9-3. And even a field goal probably would have been enough, but they get that touchdown, and the Jets end up scoring behind that, and 15-10 ends up being your final. And it was an unremarkable game. In fact, I was on my couch, did not go to the game. I was thinking I might, and then something came up, and I ended up staying home for it. Although I got the experience, I'll tell you this. I live in South Tampa, and I live not too far from Dale Mabry, which, of course, if you know Tampa geography, Dale Mabry is the spine of Tampa. It runs straight north and south. right down the middle of the Inter Bay Peninsula and straight up all the way north through, you know, past Gaither High School. And the stadium itself is on Dale Mabry. And my house, again, not far from Dale Mabry, MacDill Air Force Base is at the terminus of Dale Mabry. If you go all the way south on it, it occupies the entire southern tip of the Inter Bay Peninsula. So every Bucks home game, and I just learned this a couple years ago, and they've been doing it pretty consistently, they do a flyover. And I'm a huge flyover guy. Love flyovers. I mean, if a flyover doesn't put a hop in your step, I don't know what to tell you. Like, it could be for anything. In fact, we should do flyovers for more things. But the Bucks have one almost every home game. Not quite every home game, but almost. And my house is right, I'm not far from the base, I'm not far from the stadium, I'm in fact right between the base and the stadium, and I'm right underneath where they fly. So if I'm home watching a Bucks game, and I was kind of getting ready to go downstairs, I already had the TV on CBS, which is who televised the game, but I think I was upstairs changing a diaper on my daughter, who's two, and I'd forgotten, you know, because I still haven't gotten in the routine of it yet, but I'm starting to realize now, Bucks home game, 1 o'clock, if I'm not there, if I'm at my house, 12:57-ish, you hear a little rumble in the distance, and I heard it, and I actually had a diaper, like, in my hand, I was changing a diaper, left the kid on the changing table, ran down the stairs, because you have a few seconds, you get that lead crackle through the air, you hear, like, and I heard that sound, and I figured I got about 5 seconds, so I bolted downstairs, flung the door open, ran out into the driveway, looked up, and then, I mean, like 100 feet right over my house. For, I think it was F-16s this past weekend. And I threw my fists in the air and I went, woo! You know, I was fired up. I mean, they were going right over my driveway. Happens every Bucks game now that I live. And I just moved to this house a couple years ago. But this one's directly under the flight line from MacDill to Raymond James, which isn't very far. And, man, I was ready for football then. That got me jacked up. Like, just standing in my driveway watching those things fly over. And my son and my wife ran out. My poor daughter had to hang out on the changing table for a few seconds, but she was all right. And they looked up and they saw them, you know, before they got out of sight. And I was like, hell yes, here we go. I was down on this Bucks team, down on this season, 2-6, who cares anymore? All it took was a flyover, and I'm back in, baby. Let's go. Then I went inside, got the daughter down for a nap, started watching the game, and I fell asleep sometime midway through the first quarter and woke up at the 2-minute warning of the half. And I missed absolutely nothing. Like, literally nothing happened in that game at all in the first half. And actually, to be honest with you, nothing happened in that game at all until, like, 5 minutes left in the game when the Bucks scored, then the Jets scored. And that's Bucks football nowadays, you know? That's how it is. It's sad. It's unfortunate. And I understand they didn't have Jameis Winston this week, but that's not everything anyway. And Ryan Fitzpatrick did what they had to do. They won the game. Fitzpatrick, after the game, said, you know, I'm getting to the age now where I don't really care about anything else. I'm glad we won. I'm not too worried about the other stuff, stats-wise. And I get that. But people who are, like, swinging the other way now on the pendulum, like, hey, man, here we go. The Bucks, we got something now, baby. You know, put a couple wins together. Hey, you know what? I've heard people say, the Dolphins, they're no good. The Bucks could win this game, too. And then all of a sudden, they're 4-6. That's not terrible. It's pretty bad, okay? Even if they win this weekend. If they win this weekend, I'm not going to come in next week and change my tune then either. It's been a hugely disappointing year. Expectations are everything in life. And, you know, there's certain years you don't think you have much anyway. And maybe 4-6 is just par for the course. But there's other years like this one where so much promise was held before the season. And that makes a big difference. And that's what's working against Dirk Cutter right now is expectations. And we talked about on last week's show how I've pretty much moved on from Cutter and I don't think it's going to work out under him. A lot of people have not, and that's a perfectly valid opinion. I like Dirk Cutter. I'd love for him to be the guy. I don't want to keep changing coaches. But, you know, people say, oh, well, Winston's been hurt. That makes a difference. But top to bottom, and even if Cutter isn't moved in the offseason, you know, there will be changes. Top to bottom, there is no reason this team should have been where they are right now. We shouldn't be sitting here talking about a 3-6. Hey, maybe we can get a win in Miami and go 4-6. Are you kidding me? And being a lowly Jets team, 15-10 because you couldn't score a touchdown, until the fourth quarter again, Ryan Fitzpatrick or not, doesn't change anything in my mind. And as far as the defense, hey, hats off to them. They did a good job. I mean, the Jets aren't very good. Certainly, they're not very good offensively. But they've given other teams fits. They were 4-5. They damn near beat New England. All right? So, I mean, it's not like they haven't given other teams problems, and the Bucs shut them down. So, good for them. Credit where it's due. With that said, a lot of stuff has come to light this week. And when I say come to light, I just mean things in the coaching search carousel. I don't want to say they're definitely known, but we have a better feel for things than we did before. John Gruden's name came up a bunch, as it does every year this time of year. But I brought him up on the podcast last week, not because I'm a rumor guy, because I'm not, but because I said, you know, I felt like this time with Gruden, it really does feel different. I'm not saying he's going to coach the Bucs, but I do feel like he is going to coach, or at least that he really could. I'm not going to say anything like he's going to do this, or, you know, I don't know any of that. But as opposed to every single year when we get these rumors, and they do happen every single year, this year it really does seem like more than just people chattering. I do believe there's a good chance he can end up coaching somewhere. Where, though? And we've heard rumors about college with Tennessee, and some people firmly believe he will be the next coach at the University of Tennessee. I don't think he's a college coach. I think he'd be great. I mean, I'm not saying he wouldn't be a good college coach, but I don't think that's what he wants to do. I can't imagine him going out recruiting. I think he'd be great in the living room with mom and dad. I mean, John Gruden is a very affable guy. He's a very fun guy to talk to. You know, he's got personality. I think he'd be good at that part, but I don't see that happening. Our own Ira Kaufman, of course, who is pretty close with Gruden, and if you have a chance to hear his podcast, go on Joe Bucks Fan and look his up this week. He has some great insight about Gruden. But he said as much in his podcast. He said, you know, this is more of a thing where all these rumors about college are fun and everything, but he's not going to coach Tennessee, according to Ira, and I believe him. But, again, he is, I think, totally in that place now where he could go back and coach in the pros. So, is it the Bucks or not? Well, a lot depends on what the Glazers decide to do with Dirk Cutter. And nothing has changed for me. I mean, nothing has changed for me. And I like Dirk Cutter. I don't see it at this point. As far as Gruden goes, you know, he likes Jameis Winston. He's not going to go to a place that doesn't have a quarterback in place. We have that. He already lives in Tampa. We know he's a Tampa guy. I mean, he hadn't moved. So, I mean, it's right down the street. I mean, everything locks in. And again, I wouldn't be doing this in a normal year. Oh, Gruden's coming back. You know, obviously, the one thing I said last week about Gruden was that this is still a place that fired him. It's not like anything changed, like the Glazers fired him. And then, you know, now he's getting the Ring of Honor thing. And I think things have kind of thawed a little bit. I mean, I'm sure Gruden was pretty upset about being fired. You know, he never thought that he was going to be fired. It was pretty surprising to all of us, and it kind of blindsided him, I'm sure. I know he thinks Monty Kiffin and the, some of the uncertainty that he created that season kind of led to that slide in 2008 where they were 9-2, finished 9-7, those five straight losses. But even then, the offense was pretty good in those games. The defense kind of gave it up, and that goes back to Gruden blaming Kiffin. It does raise the question, though, like, do you even want that? A lot of you people out there have told me that, you know, you're tired of the musical coaches, you want some consistency, you want some continuity, and you think Dirk Cutter should be given a chance, especially given Jameis Winston's injury. If the Bucs go that route, I'm not going to flip out, okay? I understand Jameis Winston hasn't been right, even before he missed a game this past week with the shoulder and things like that. I'm not saying he's the reason they're 3-6 either. Like, if he'd been totally healthy this whole time, we'd be better. Because that's not true. And he didn't have shoulder issues all the way through the year. That was only in recent weeks. But I'm willing to admit at least that, yeah, sure, there's some mitigating factors. But you remember this about Gruden too. You know, looking back over the years now, you remember the highs. You remember the Super Bowl. Oh my God, we won the Super Bowl. Gruden. Wonder Kid back at the time. Even though that was 15 years ago. Yeah, they were 12-4 that year. After that season, after the opening season under Gruden, not that you can just not count things, it counts too, but they were 12-4. From 2003 to 2008, 45-51. And no playoff wins, 0-2 in the playoffs. 2002, of course, 12-4 and 3-0 in the playoffs. Gruden, along with Bruce Allen, who I don't like, and I don't say that often, I say, I don't like him so-and-so, maybe I don't like him as a kick returner, I don't like this guy at corner or whatever, but I mean, actually I don't like Bruce Allen. I think he's a snake, I think he's a used car salesman. Nothing against used car salesmen, by the way. That stuff he pulled in Washington with it, what was his name, McLaughlin, where he, tried to paint the guy as an alcoholic as an excuse to force him out because he felt threatened. That was a bad deal. I think Gruden with a strong general manager, I think, could be a lot better. I think when you saw after the Super Bowl season, when Gruden and Rich McKay started to part ways the year after that, or whatever, however long it was, and then Bruce Allen comes in, you get all these aging veterans and all these just bad personnel deals there. And it got away from the Bucks. But Gruden wasn't that great. And, a lot of people say, hey, should we even want him back? I know from a fan standpoint, it would excite a lot of fans. It would keep people, maybe renewing tickets or getting tickets. Whereas, you come off of this season, whatever they end up, 6-10, even 7-9, which I doubt. I mean, at 3-6 now. Whatever it is. The point is, if there's nothing different, then, what are people going to get excited about next year? And Raymond James Stadium was not exactly jam-packed and jelly-tight this past Sunday, as Joe was tweeting pictures of it. And I understand that, again. I mean, Bucks games aren't the cool place to be. And when they are, what was the cool place to be this year, this one time? The Patriots game, that Thursday night game, couldn't even get a ticket to that one. I was walking around outside, I told you the story on the podcast. And there was a few tickets to be had for exorbitant prices. But that was a hip it thing to do. And that's what I always say about the Rays, about the Bucks, about the Lightning. It ain't just about the team, although it obviously is somewhat about the team. It's about what kind of cred do you get from telling your buddies, hey, I was there, or I'm going tonight. I got a couple tickets, you want to go? You say that about a Lightning game, people are like, hey, all right, yeah, right on, dude, let's go. It's like a cool place to be. Rays games obviously are not the coolest place to be in any way, shape, or form. Bucks games used to be 100,000 person waiting list. Oh, you got tickets? Oh, you're going Sunday? Dude, that's awesome. I wish I was going Sunday. That's so cool that you're going Sunday. Now it's like, oh yeah, cool. You're going to the Bucks game. Have fun, dude. I'll be watching on my couch. Do not care that I'm not going. Does not bother me. I do not feel inadequate in any way. That's really what it's about. How inadequate can you make people feel for not being somewhere? That's what all this attendance stuff comes down to. No one's inadequate about missing a Rays game. Like, oh man, I really missed out on something hip and cool in this town that other people are going to get to brag about being at. I'm not going to get to do that. And Bucks games, it used to be a badge of honor to say you were going to that game, or you went to that game, or you had tickets. I remember the season tickets coming in. Excuse me, a little sneeze there. I remember the Bucks season tickets coming in August every year, or it might have been late July, I think it was early August, and they'd be sitting there at the doorstep in that little FedEx folder. I mean, just a rush of adrenaline just getting to the door that day. Now, nobody cares. It doesn't matter that you're going to the game. I'm not impressed that you're going to the game. You're not impressed that I'm going to the game. You're not impressed or unimpressed that I'm not going to the game. It just doesn't matter to people. So if you get a guy like Gruden, that would raise that it factor up a little bit. And that's never a reason to do something. I mean, you have to do things because they'll help you win Super Bowls. But it does factor in when the Bucks have had issues with their place in the Tampa sports community. And listen, no matter how bad they are, no matter how good the Lightning are, no matter how good the Rays are, no matter how well those teams, especially the Lightning, the Lightning are humming. Great organization, great fan base, games are sold out, even on weeknights, doesn't matter. And even with all that, no matter what, the Buccaneers will always be this area's baby. Tampa Bay's baby is the Buccaneers. And even when the attendance looks poor or excitement's low, it's still the most watched team, it's still the most talked about team. You do a talk show like I did, you take calls. Lightning have, again, sold out crowds all the time. Everybody loves the Lightning. I love the Lightning. And I don't consider any of my teams above any of the others. They're like children. You love them differently, but you love them both infinitely. But the Lightning, I wouldn't get phone calls about the Lightning, you know, the way I would. The Bucks, I mean, it could be any time of year, and you know, somebody sneezes or adjusts their jock strap, and we're hitting the phone. People, even when they don't go to the games, and the Rays are a little bit like this, too, because I think the people really do care about the Rays a lot in this town. People, when they're talking with their friends, calling into sports talk radio, reading stuff online, as Joe Bucks fan can attest, with their hundreds of thousands of unique visitors that they get, you know, the Bucks are still the straw that stirs the drink in this town. It's a football town. It always has been, it always will be, and I wouldn't want it any other way. But it would be nice to have a football team living up to that level of interest, and we haven't had that. And I don't know if the Bucks are going to do anything with Dirk Cutter or not. I really don't. But if they do, I do think Gruden's a real possibility. I haven't decided myself yet if I'm excited about that or not. Because I know you, the gut reaction is one thing. And we're going through this right now. I went to the University of Florida, class of 2002. I'm a huge Gator. And we're going through this now with a coaching search there. You know, all the buzz. You're never more excited than you are right now when you're just getting that new coach. Because whoever it is, there's so much optimism. But here's the thing you got to remember. We all think we could just make that hire. You know, who is that guy? Let's go get him. Identify that guy and go get him. Easy, right? Chip Kelly, maybe. Or is it Scott Frost? Or for the Bucks, is it Gruden? You know, it's not that easy to identify that guy. I mean, the Gators, just to use an example, have only had two. Steve Spurrier, who, I mean, you know, was a prodigal son. You know, went to Duke for a little bit after playing for the Gators, then playing for the Bucks in their inaugural season. The Bandits coaching. You know, Duke winning the ACC. They still haven't won it again since. But it was a natural, hey, the Gators need a coach. Spurrier's going to be the coach of the Gator. It was obvious. Urban Meyer, same thing. I remember that year thinking, this guy. It was like, so, it wasn't even like, oh, you, where are you on Urban Meyer? Oh, I don't like him. I think we should hire so-and-so. Everybody almost to a man that I know as a Gator back in 2005 or the end of 2004 was like, oh, yeah, Urban Meyer. I mean, it was obvious. The only question was whether they could beat Notre Dame to the punch or not, and they did. But very rarely is it that obvious. I don't think it's obvious now with Chip Kelly and Scott Frost. I don't think it's that obvious now with Gruden at the pro level. I mean, look at the head coaches around the league anyway. Who is that guy? How many of them are there? I mean, I'm just looking team by team. Obviously, Belichick. For Pittsburgh, Tomlin, say what you want about him, but he's been that guy for Pittsburgh. You know, Baltimore's got Harbaugh. He's that guy, even though they've been up and down. I mean, they've, you know, the Super Bowl speaks for itself. Nobody in the AFC South has that guy. Andy Reid in the West, you could say. That's probably all I'd say. Am I missing anybody? Doug Peterson for the Eagles. Again, you know, my point is only a handful of guys. I'm looking all down the list here. And you look at these guys, McCarthy for Green Bay. I mean, I've ripped him even as recently as two seasons ago. There's only a handful of guys who are like, no-brainer, this guy's the one, and their teams acquired them in a variety of different ways. There's no formula for this. So people think with these coaching searches, you just go get the guy. Oh, just go get him. You don't know how it's going to go. Nobody does. The coach himself doesn't know. The person hiring him, whether it's an AD or whether it's, you know, whoever it is, we don't know. And so that's what makes it so uncertain with the Bucs. I mean, if you do let go a Cutter, and I'm not convinced they will. I mean, what they do in the final seven games here, I think, will go a decent ways in deciding that. But, you know, who's the next guy? Is it Gruden? He's done it before. Is it some up-and-coming assistant that we don't know that much about, but that ends up being really good, like Peterson? I mean, for the Eagles, I remember him as a backup quarterback. I knew who he was, but, like, you know, he's the guy for them. They're 8-1. You know, everybody wants the next Belichick. Well, you know, Belichick flamed out with the Browns, took the Jets job for like 5 minutes and then said no, if I remember correctly, and then goes to the Patriots, and now he's who he is. You don't know. Like, you just don't know. It could be the obvious guy, you know, the hot, sexy coordinator that's ready to be a head coach. It could be a guy who's a retread. It could be a guy you've never heard of. I mean, it really could be any of those things. Or it could be none of them, and you could just be bad. I mean, like the Gators, didn't work out with Muschamp, now didn't work out with McElwain. Is even a guy like Chip Kelly going to come in, and all of a sudden they're back in national title contention just like that? I don't know. I mean, nobody knows. I would love to say, oh, yeah, identify him and now hire him. And if they do that, I'll be excited. We all get excited, but none of us know anything. So, bottom line, all I'm saying with all this is, even though it's easy for me to sit here and say, oh, yeah, it's not working out under Cutter, move on. Move on what? It's still, to me, in my mind, hard to wrap around the idea of Gruden coaching the Bucks again. That'd be, like, surreal if that happened. And if they did have that happen, would that even guarantee anything? Of course not. I mean, like I said, he didn't do that well for 7 of his 8 years here, or 6 of his 7 years here, whatever it was. And by doing that, by locking in on him, are we missing out on some other guy who ends up being the one for somebody else that we could have had if we'd only known better? You know, there's no way to know any of this. It's really hard. It's hard to be a GM or an owner or an AD in college. It's hard. I mean, you got to identify these guys and hire them, and, you know, you're tied to them once you hire them for as long as they're around, or as long as you're around, and it's not long if you don't get the right guy. So anyway, one other thing I wanted to mention today on the podcast has to do with the Dunedin Pirates, my team. Oh, first of all, a Great American Teach-In today. I just finished that up. Had a blast. Let me tell you the story about the Great American Teach-In real quick, because this was fun. So for those of you that have kids in school, you probably know what the Great American Teach-In is. Every year on a certain day, and I don't know if it's the same day every year or not, but it happens to be today, November 16th, that I'm recording this, a Thursday, and that's the day of the Great American Teach-In. That's the day, usually parents, but it doesn't have to be parents, but, you know, all the people come in and talk about their jobs and their careers, almost like a career day type thing. So, like, you know, so-and-so's dad's a policeman, so-and-so's mom is a doctor, so-and-so's mom's a dentist, so-and-so's dad is an accountant, whatever it is, they come in, talk about their jobs, and just all day long, it's kind of, not a day off school, but it's kind of a special day where, you know, they do all these presentations. You do about 15, 20 minutes, whatever it is. So I've done it before in the past about sports talk radio, back when I worked in sports talk radio. I could still do that now, even though I'm not doing sports talk radio. I could go do a presentation. Not that I'm sure I would even want to recommend anybody going to sports talk radio. But playing football, now that I play the semi-pro football league I do, full contact, Dunedin Pirates. Go to DunedinPirates.com for more information. I'm in my second year doing that at age 37. I guess my son Wade told one of his teachers, hey, my daddy's a football player. And I don't know if she thought I played for the Bucks or something like that, which I've made clear. But he said, no, he's a semi, he actually used the word semi-pro football player. So the teacher one day at pickup comes up to me. She says, hey, Wade tells me you play semi-pro football. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's just a fun thing I do. Probably a bad idea. I'll probably tear my knee up or something. But I do it because I love football and it's fun. And, you know, when you have two kids and, you know, I'm a stay-at-home dad for a lot of the day when I'm not working nights and weekends, you know, things can get a little bit redundant and boring and routine. And you want to spice life up. So that's why I play. But anyway, I said, yeah, I mean, it's not a job, though. Like, she's like, well, no, come in for the Great American Teach-In. I was like, no, like, I don't play football for a living. This is just a hobby. It'd be like having my wife come in and do a yoga presentation. Like, she's a dentist, but she just does yoga. It's not something that you do for the Great American Teach-In. And the teacher was like, no, it's okay. It doesn't have to be your job. Just come in and talk about football. The kids will love it. So I was like, okay, you know, I'll come in. I don't want to, like, pass myself off as some football player because I'm just some schmuck ham and egger. And anybody can play in this league I'm in. I mean, you don't have to, like, go to a combine and pass a test or something. If you want to play and you pay your team fees, which are not a lot, and you get yourself a helmet, shoulder pads, they'll give you a uniform and you'll be running out there on the field and you'll be playing ball. If you want to do it, again, email me, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. I'll give you more info, or just go to the website, DunedinPirates.com. But anyway, she said she understood all that and please come in anyway. So I said, okay, I'm going to come in. So then after I agree to do this, now I'm thinking, and this is a kindergarten class. It's not like fifth graders that you can actually talk to and, you know, get a feel for. I mean, kindergartners, it's a little bit different. So I'm thinking, what am I going to do for the teach-in? Like, talk about football with kindergartners? What do I do? So the first thing I thought, I was like, I got to grab these kids. Like, I got to get, you know, right out of the gate, I got to get their attention. So I'm coming in full gear. I'm not going to come in with my Dunedin Pirates t-shirt and show, you know, hand out mini footballs. I'm going to suit up like I'm getting ready for a game. Full pads, helmet, cleats, everything. I'm walking into that room dressed out. And so I said, I did it. So, and the funny thing is, first of all, I live right down the street from campus, so I rode my bike down there. So I felt like I was on the Green Bay Packers at training camp. I'm riding a bicycle in a full football uniform with a helmet on my head, just riding down the street. The neighbors were probably looking out their window like, you know, who the hell is this guy? So I get to the office, I get my bike parked, and I just walk into the front office, like, again, in full pads. And they're all looking at me like, what, are you here for the teach-in? And I'm like, no, I'm just here hanging out in my football uniform. Yes, I'm here for the teach-in. So I go back to the room and I walk in and the kids, I mean, they're all like, whoa, it's a football play. They thought, I honestly, this is the coolest feeling because they don't know. They're 5 and 6 years old. Like, I could have been like Johnny Unitas walking into that room. I could have been Tom Brady. Like, they see somebody in their football uniform. They don't know that I'm nobody. They thought I was a god. And if you've ever played football, you know, no matter how crappy a player you were, like, I was never that good. Before the game, though, in the locker room, like, in front of the mirror, putting on your gear, you feel like a stallion. I mean, you could be terrible at actual football. It doesn't matter. But you pull those pants up high, get those socks going, throw those wristbands on your ripped forearms, put your helmet on, look in the mirror, and you are a, like I said, a god among men. You feel like you're unstoppable. And so that's how I felt today. I walk in there. My cleats are making that click-clack sound on the hard floor in the classroom. The kids are all wide-eyed. I mean, I could have won 4 Super Bowls or been a backup safety on my local semi-pro team. There is no difference to these kids. They have no idea what the difference is. So I walk in there. I was right. I did a much better thing dressing out than just walking in street clothes, because I had their attention. They were, I mean, all, like, before I even start talking, like, 85 hands go up. Like, they all have a question. I'm like, okay, we'll take questions at the end. So, at this age, I figured I'm just going to show them what a football uniform even is, because they see football on TV, they probably don't even know all the stuff. So I say, okay, here's your helmet. You buckle your chin strap. This protects your chin. These are your ear flaps. Here's my shoulder pads. Now, these are thigh pads and knee pads. These go here. You know, all the stuff about a football uniform. I drew a little football field on the board. I showed them, okay, when you're going this way, the X's are trying to get the ball in this thing called the end zone. The O's are trying to tackle them. Anybody know how many points it is for a touchdown? They all raised their hand. A couple of them know. Oh, it's 6, and then, yeah, you can get an extra point for 7 field goals. Or, you know, basic stuff. Had an absolute blast, though. I passed my helmet around the room, passed my shoulder pads around the room. Like I said, they don't know the difference. I could have been Joe Montana walking in there. And so that was a lot of fun. So for all you out there, whatever you do for a living or as a hobby, if you ever get asked to do the Great American Teach-In, and actually the younger the kids, the better, because they're much easier to impress. Just do it. Just go in there. The teachers don't care. They're just happy to have somebody else talking to the kids for 20 minutes instead of them. And it gives them a little break. It helps fill up their day. And there was all kind of, there was parents coming in. Again, you might think, oh, I'm an accountant. So what? Just go in there and tell them about accounting. Make it fun. Draw some numbers on the board. Whether it's football, accounting, you know, there's always a couple firefighters. Those are easy. Well, everybody loves firefighters. Police officers, they whip the batons out. You know, maybe pepper spray a kid as a demo. Can't miss. Great American Teach-In's tons of fun. Maybe when they're older, I'll tell them about my travails in sports talk radio. But for today, that was a blast. Thanks to everybody over there. And if you, again, want to be that guy, just to put on the football uniform one more time. Maybe you used to play. Maybe you think you could still play. Go to DunedinPirates.com, check it out, inquire, or just get a hold of me. My email is BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com. My Twitter is @BobbyGameDay. Bucks Dolphins this weekend. This was a game I was going to go to in person in South Florida back in week 1. My wife is from South Florida. Her family still lives in Davie, which is just down the street from Hard Rock Stadium. In fact, it's where the Dolphins headquarters is in Davie, and that's just down the street from their house. I love going to South Florida. But I don't know if we're going to make that trip now with the holiday coming up and everything. You know, week 1, we probably would have done it. I'm sure a lot of Bucks fans will make the trip, though. I'm sure a lot were going to make the week 1 trip, because I was fired up for this game when it was week 1. And we thought we were starting our Super Bowl bid down in South Florida. Jameis is going to go pitch it around a little bit on the hapless Dolphins. hasn't worked out that way now that these two teams both meet. And even with the Dolphins having a record that puts them in the wild card race, quote-unquote. And I'll talk about that more next week on the free stretch, because what a crappy just group of wild card contenders, quote-unquote, that we have right now. And I've heard people in the past talking about, hey, the NFL wants to go to 8 playoff teams per conference instead of 6, add another playoff game. Who could be against that? Because it's more you get one more playoff game. Or actually, you get 2 more playoff games per conference. You get 4 more playoff games. Who's against that? I'm against that. I think the playoff system is almost perfect as it is now. Only thing I'd change is I'd seed them 1-6 straight by record. I wouldn't give the automatic top 4 to the 4 division champions. I'd give an automatic playoff spot to the division champions. I do believe in that. Otherwise, there's no point in having divisions. But once qualified, I would take the 6 teams and simply seed them 1-6 based on record. But other than that, top 2 teams get a bye, wild card weekend, then divisional weekend, conference championship, Super Bowl. They got a great system. It keeps the regular season just important enough. You're playing to get in, first of all. You're playing for home field. Tiebreakers come into it sometimes. Every game is huge. And then, you know, the really good ones get rewarded with the week off. Going on the road if you're a wild card, or if you're one of the bottom 4, I should say, you know, I wouldn't touch any of that. And when I see teams like Miami and Buffalo, I think is still in the 6th wild card spot right now. They're starting Nathan Peterman over Tyrod Taylor by choice this weekend. Now, Tyrod Taylor didn't get hurt. They're doing it by choice. And we want to add 2 more teams behind them into this? Are you kidding me? Anyway, we'll save that for another show. Thanks to the Joes, as always, for putting this show on their website, allowing me the chance to talk to all of you. Oh, there's an email I want to read. Next week I'll read it. I'm sorry I didn't get to it this week, but I'll read it next week. But thanks to the Joes for everything they do for me, allowing me to do this show. Thanks to all of you. Email me. I will read it on the show. I didn't get to emails today, but I'm going to get to emails next show, next Thursday. There will be a Thanksgiving show, as far as I know. The Joes, I'll cut it. We'll post it. I don't know how many of you will see it or hear it, but it's not going anywhere. In fact, I think it'll have more listeners. Why not? Thanksgiving. What else are you going to be doing for half the day? Listen to this podcast. I'm Bobby Fenton. That's the free stretch for week 11. Wherever you are, good afternoon, good evening, good night, and go Bucks.